Couldn't have picked a better song to begin my lesson this morning as we turn our attention to some things that I hope will be of encouragement to us as we strive to be like Jesus and to stamp His image on our heart, to be like Him and to allow His Spirit and His example to fill us and to be the kind of people He would have us to be. So I appreciate the leading of that song. Glad to see everyone this morning. Thankful to God for the day that He has given us. Wonderful day to serve and worship our wonderful God. So thank you for being here this morning. Please take out your Bibles to Mark 6. We'll be looking at that in just a moment as we get into our lesson. Look at some things there in Mark 6 in just a moment. What a great week that we've had. Wonderful week in the Lord. I certainly don't want to fail to mention our new brother in Christ. We're thankful for Phil Davis and his love for the Lord, desire to do what is right. Phil is a wonderful guy, and you will grow to love him as I have and appreciate him. He is a fine, fine person, and he wants to serve the Lord, and I hope that you'll encourage him in his faith as the days go along, that he might strengthen himself, that he might be an encouragement to us as we are to him. He's been certainly that already to me. So be sure to talk to Phil this morning, baptized into Christ on Friday, and now a child of God. And we're so grateful for that. Wonderful, wonderful news. Amen? You know, I think emotions are one of those things in life that are just wonderful, even sometimes when things don't go the way that we want them to, and we see people that are sad and people that are struggling and things of that nature. I suppose life would be robotic and dull without them. And so we see emotion from time to time expressed virtually on a daily basis, one way or another. I think it's probably strange that the most that I've ever felt alive was in moments that I probably felt like I could die. Emotions are kind of like that. They're strange things. When you're jumping out of a plane, generally you're going to feel that way. Or when you're bungee jumping or doing something else dumb, that's when you kind of feel alive. And I've done both of those and would not necessarily recommend that. But that emotions are certainly like that. And we have to be careful with them. We have to be careful, certainly, with those emotions, that we do not only allow those emotions to drive us, but those emotions shall be stayed and kept in check by reason, by truth. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said something along the line of, if emotion drives you, or if passion drives you, then let reason hold the reins. And I think that's very good advice. You know, if we find ourselves to be emotional people, be careful that that emotion not go too far and run rampant. And so we have to be thinking people. We have to be reasoning people, even with that emotion. Jesus was an emotional person. A very emotional person. And we see that in his life, all throughout the Gospels, as he is presented to us by these men that wrote these books. He is displayed for us, and he has all the emotions of God. And we have emotions because we are made in his image. And what we need to do is to apply those emotions in the same way that he did. He's our example of really the proper employment of those things. And he embodies the pattern that we ought to keep in terms of our own emotion. His life was a life full of emotion and full of passion. He was very passionate, especially about certain things. Things that we need to copy in our own life as far as the things that are most important to us. And we've talked about this year wanting to be passionate about people. Isn't that what we're about? We're about people. That's what the church is about. It's what the church is. Church is people. And it's to be about people. And we need to be more passionate for people. And I believe that as we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we see in Him that passion for people. That's what He was all about. And He came here to seek and save that which was lost. And He cared for people. And he saw people and he saw souls, and that's what his life was about. And if we get out of this place without learning that lesson and without applying that lesson, then we have not done justice to the purpose for which we were created in His image. I want for us to look at that a little bit this morning in the time that we have together and look at the passion of Jesus Christ. When we think about Jesus, He was passionate about people, and He had an emotional response to others. He had a response to others. Sometimes I can be rather hard-hearted and just kind of go on by. But that wasn't how Jesus was at all. And He had a response to the pain of other people. And I think that's because He recognized that ultimately all pain is the result of sin. Everything that happens in this life that is painful, everything that we experience that is of that nature, ultimately, if you track that down and go back, it's because of sin. That's why it exists. And as He saw people in pain, what He saw was the result of sin. And He desired to do something about that. Jesus, as He lived His life, He had a spiritual message to convey. Every time that He healed someone, every time that He touched someone, every time that He performed a miracle, there was a message in that miracle. But He did care for people. And He was passionate about them. And while His focus was on the spiritual, that did not eliminate His concern for the physical nature of people. He didn't overlook people's physical needs just simply because He was so focused on their spiritual condition. And so He was concerned about hungry people. He was concerned about people that didn't have what they needed. He was one that completely understood the transient nature of this life, that the body was made of dust. But that didn't keep Him from doing all of those physical things that people needed. He didn't look the other way when people were suffering. In fact, He purposefully looked that way. Jesus was in tune with people's physical necessities, and the pains of others moved Him. He was wounded by their wounds. He was grieved when they grieved. He hurt when they did. He was distressed by the distress of others. When He saw a widow that had lost her only son, He was moved with compassion for her. There were other occasions in His life where much the same way, where He groaned in His spirit when He was with Lazarus and his family. And He wept. And He was grieved. And He didn't look past those circumstances, but it affected Him emotionally. And He felt it, as the Bible describes it, in the pit of His stomach, in His bowels. And so why is it that sometimes I have such a hard time doing that? And taking from His example and seeing the needs of other people and their hurt and their pain and what they're going through and do something about that. And to put myself forward in those times. And Jesus did not look at people as inconveniences or obstacles to avoid or distractions to His schedule. He saw people with souls that had need. And truly, I think as we think about Him touching the blind man's eyes and handling the sick and touching lepers and befriending those that were lame and hurting and diseased, gives us an example of how we ought to be. His observation of people in distress moved Him to self-sacrifice. And that's what that's going to take. In order to have a passion for people, we have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves. And that's going to cost me something. That's going to require of me time and energy, sometimes money, effort. That's what that will require. And I think that's part of taking up that part of the cross that He tells me to take up. That will require of me self-sacrifice. And if we, as disciples of Christ, desire to follow in His steps, we will be emotionally invested in other people. How many times do I go throughout a week without doing that? Without displaying in some way that passion for people that He certainly had? And just to say something to someone that needs it. And he didn't fail to do that because of his own circumstances. He didn't turn off his concerns. So many times I think we're concerned about our problems. Look at what all I've got going on. Look at the issues that I have. My sickness, my problems, my economic issues. And he didn't let his circumstances keep him from his concern about everybody else. You know, to say, well, we all have pain. We all struggle. Or we all, you know, get sick. And we all face mistreatment. That wasn't his response to in some way minimize that because of what happens to us all. And so he was concerned about other people. And he was passionate about people who were interested in the gospel. Certainly a part of his passion and foremost was to find people that had hearts that wanted to hear him, that had ears to hear. And he was passionate about those people. And he saw people that had souls that were in need, and he desired to meet that need. Over in Mark chapter 6, the passage that was read for us, moved by a feeling for other people. And unlike some, he did not see a crowd to exploit or to avoid sometimes, which is our inclination, whichever one of those two might describe us. But he saw lost people. And that's the way that we need to see. And so oftentimes we get just caught up in the wheel that is life, and we're unable to see the souls of men and women and their need for Jesus Christ. In Mark 6 and verse 34, Jesus, as he comes to this multitude and he looks out and is moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things, as Mark said, as he saw people that had need. As he was moved with compassion, what that compassion moved him to do was to teach. Sometimes it was verbal, sometimes it was just simply his example in what he did. But he was teaching as he encountered these people. And Paul, as he talks about, imitate me as I imitate Christ, was moved with compassion. And he loved people. That's what he was about. And as he went from place to place, and he would express that from time to time, he said in Romans 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, Paul is transparent. You can see his heart beating within his chest. And he says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Think about your heart for a moment this morning. Is it closed? Is it wide open, or is there just a little sliver of opportunity? Is there just a crack in the window, or have we really opened up our heart to the needs of other people? And to have a passion for them, to have a passion for other human beings. We see this example in Jesus Christ of how important the message that he had was. And he was passionate about people who were interested in hearing the good news. But beyond that, Jesus was passionate about worship. Look over at the book of John in chapter 2. He was passionate about people worshiping God. He was upset when he went into the temple and he found people abusing the Lord's house, making a mockery of it, treating it as something for personal gain rather than honoring him. One of the hardest things for me, I think, as a Christian, is to just see people that just don't care about worshiping God. And I'm not talking only about those folks that I see running on the sidewalks when I'm coming to services. I'm talking about sometimes The fact that inside the body of Christ, it does not seem that people put the kind of importance upon that that they ought to. And if they're here, maybe they're just not as passionate as they ought to be about worshiping God. What a wonderful opportunity that this is that we have every week to express in our feeble voices how thankful to God that we are for His marvelous grace. Jesus was certainly passionate about people worshiping God and having an understanding of the importance of that. And as He comes into the temple and He deals with these people that were there for hypocritical reasons and impure motives, it says there in John 2 and verse 17 that as the disciples witnessed this, they remembered the passage that said, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." I don't know if that describes me yet. I hope that's something that's becoming a part of my character, that I'm consumed with that desire. That doesn't mean that we're always emotionally on a high, that everything as we come in is just the way that we would envision it to be, that all the songs are on point and on tempo, which we have some great songwriters, but that's not always the case, or that the lesson is always going to hit us where it needs to hit us. But we're here to worship God. The zeal for His house that we ought to have. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John, in the book of John, He said, "The true worshipers," chapter 4, "will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and God is seeking such to worship Him." God help us to have that desire. Why are we not more passionate about worshiping God? Look at Psalms 105 for just a minute, back in the Old Testament. Psalm 105. The Scriptures portray for us that we ought to have a sense of awe. This is not some rote exercise in which we're engaged, that we just come together, it's the first day of the week. We come together, we check off a list, we do the things that He's told us, and then we go on about our business. That is not what Sunday is about. And as you look back into the book of Psalms, you see a sense of awe that the writers of this book had, and also a sense of awe. 400 times in the book of Psalms, you can see the word "oh." And it's expressive of just this sense of urgency, this sense of want to, this sense of a need that we have. And Psalm 105 kind of describes that. Psalm 105, beginning in verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." Does that sound like somebody that's coming in with just this checklist kind of mentality? Doesn't it? There's a zeal for the Lord there that's eating him up, and a sense of oh. And oh, how we need that. We need that more than the other senses that we have. We need that so much more than every other sense that God has given us. Sight, sound, whatever the case may be, touch, whatever sense we have, this is the most important sense. Just a sense of awe. A sense of awe for our God. Jesus desired that all men develop that sense and that it outweigh everything else. And He displays that for us in His life, in the things that He did. Are we passionate about worshiping God? And then, in terms of people that are having problems spiritually, He was passionate about those people. And you could hear the heart and see His heart break when people would resist the truth Over in Luke 19 and verse 41, Jesus was not arrogantly dismissive of those who were lost. He cared deeply about their condition. And that's sometimes describing us, that we can somewhat be arrogantly dismissive of people when we ought not to be. Luke 19 and verse 41, as he is thinking about the people that are about to crucify him, people that hated him, his enemies, the very place that he would lose his life. It says that as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." He saw a group of people and he wept for them. He loved them. That must have been hard to do. It certainly would not be easy to do, to love them when they would put him to death just a few days from this. He was the kind that said those things that were needed in love, and certainly that's needed. A man who put money first, who needed to change his attitude. Those that had problems spiritually, he was certainly willing to speak to them in the way that he needed to, and so do we sometimes. But we certainly don't ignore. What he expects is that we will act as he did. In Luke chapter 15 and verses 1 through 7, he displays for us this desire that we ought to have as he did, to go seek after that sheep that's strayed. A sheep that wanders away from the Lord is not a sheep that is written off. But he loves that one so much. And like that prodigal son that would come back, that he would run to him. That he desires that. That he loves. The one that's weak. The one that's wandering. The one that's wayward. The one that could offer him nothing. That he looked for that one. That he had a passion for people that were lost and people that were having problems spiritually. And that love, perhaps, is why there are times when he had scathing rebukes for people that had no interest in that, that did not have that kind of love. And he says, it's better for you to put a millstone around your neck. We were recently in Georgia. We went to a grist mill up there in a little place called Helen. Huge millstone. I don't know, I think it said that it weighed 800 pounds. But it's better for that one that would cause someone else to stray to put a millstone around your neck and cast yourself into the sea. That's how serious he was about those that were weak and struggling. If you cause one of those little ones to stumble, then you recognize how serious that is. Jesus had such a passion for those that were struggling and those that were weak. And there were times when he was grieved in his heart because he experienced other people who would rather exploit someone in that situation than help them. That ought not to be the case. Well, when we think about Jesus and we think about passion, we think about that final week. And that week was known as His Passion Week, or it has been expressed as in that way. That's certainly one thing that we think about when we think about the passion of Christ. We think about the fact that He loved people to the very end. He went as far as you could possibly go in having a passion for people. And that began in Gethsemane in Mark 14 and verse 34, where He expresses His desire. Although being in such pain emotionally, he says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." And blood drops fell to the ground. But he was going to see that through. And he cared about people, and those people are us. Enough to see that to the very end. And to become a public spectacle, and to be tortured and suffer in the way that he did. And he was passionate about people even in those moments. And he said, "My soul is troubled, but for this hour I have come." That's why I'm here. And folks, that's why we're here too. And I hope that we can develop in ourselves this passion for people. To love them. To love one another. To have that kind of relationship with each other. And then to turn that attention out to people that are in this world that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish my work. You look at the life of Christ. Notice how many times He said, "I must. I must go. I must preach. I must do." And there was over and over for Him this sense of ought, this sense of need and a must that He had. Sometimes for us, it's a mustiness rather than a must. And we've grown stale, perhaps. And that ought to never be the case. But to have this sense of passion for people, that drives us and will cause us to do all of those things that the Lord has commanded that we do. John 4 and verse 34, what a pattern it is for us that we ought to develop in our lives, the depth of the love that Jesus had for the will of God. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. I hope that that's what we desire as well. We have to find in life what we're passionate about, what consumes us, what interests us, what is most vital to us. We have to discover that. And to determine what it is that we're going to make our life all about. Jesus had a passion for pleasing God, for being obedient to Him. And He asked us to do the same. He wants to have us to have that same desire. And when it comes to people, may God help us in the depth of our being, in our bowels, the deepest part of us, to have that too. There were two disciples on the road to Emmaus who were distressed. They were lost. They didn't know what to do. They were wandering aimlessly because they thought that Jesus the Christ was going to be the Messiah. They did not know that He had risen. They did not know that He had overcome death. But He appeared to them on the road, and it says that He opened the Scriptures unto them. And that He opened up to them those things written about Him, about the prophet, by the prophets in the Old Testament, what the Scripture said about Him. And when He departed from them that day, it says that they marveled. And they said within themselves, "Did our hearts not burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us?" Nothing is going to light our hearts on fire like Jesus Christ and an openness and understanding about His Scriptures and what He's delivered to us. Let's develop that passion for Him. May God help us to do that. Perhaps you're here this morning and your understanding has been opened by your study of the Scriptures. Perhaps in the past you know what it is that you ought to do to be obedient to Him, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and to then be raised to walk in newness of life. I assure you there's no life like it. May God help us to be obedient to Him. If there's someone that has need this morning, won't you come today? Come as we stand and as we sing.